morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show with host Tanya Brown. We are coming to you from New Orleans, Louisiana, to offer you a bite-sized bit of magic. Our 20-minute-ish episodes are the perfect start to your day. So sit back, relax, and enjoy your pop of magic.
We have a special segment today. We are talking with Phyllis Currot. Phyllis is one of America's first public Wiccan priestesses, an attorney and outspoken advocate for Wiccans, pagans, and other minority religions. Phyllis was the vice chair of the 2015 Parliament of World Religions, creator of the inaugural Women's Assembly, and drafter of the Declaration for the Dignity and Human Rights of Women, which was adopted by the 2015 Parliament. She also recently came out with a deck, one that we've been using for months now, the Witch's Wisdom Tarot. So this is actually going to be a bit of a series because Phyllis and I had such wonderful conversation and I don't want to cut any of it. So here we go.
You know, and we'll talk and people won't listen, you know.
Or
it won't be their, method, you know, because there are a million approaches to this. Yeah. Vivian Crowley is just, you know, I adore her. She's wonderful. She's in Alexandria and they're much more formal, you know, than I am. I'm shamanic. From the minute I started, immediately after I was initiated, even before I was initiated, I began working in the very first shamanic drumming circle in the United States that came out of Michael Horner's work. So I immediately recognized that what we were doing in our coven was shamanic work. In fact, it had all these ceremonial overlays and stuff that came from Gardner's efforts to create something. So there was ceremonial magic from the Golden Dawn, and there were elements of masonry. And, you know, when people say Blessed Be, that's from the Masons, you know, there's all this stuff, right? The three degrees, all these things, you know, he was pastiching something together from bits and shards. It wasn't bad, but the essence of it is quite shamanic. And Wicca, witchcraft, to me, I didn't make a distinction between the two. Now there's a distinction between Wicca and witchcraft. But we refer to ourselves as witches, not as Wiccans. It's 5,500 years old. The word witch is from the 16th century, comes from Wicca, W-I-C-C-A. That was the feminine. So 5,500-year-old words from the Proto-Indo-European. That's shamanism. When you're talking 5,500 years ago in the Proto-Indo-European culture, you're talking shamanism. Didn't arrive in England until 500 AD. It came across with the Anglo-Saxons and took root.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Wicca, people forget, and I try to remind people because there is this subsect of people who believe Wicca is the only way to be magic. And sometimes I feel like you have to kind of remind people Wicca really just took from all these other ideas, the Masons, the, you know, Golden Dawn, pagan pre-Christian traditions, and, you know, shamanism, and just kind of patched together this structured idea of how one can approach magic. But it is not the be all of being a witch.
It's not. But to divorce witchcraft from spirituality is patriarchal. People might not realize that, but it is to approach magic as in a mechanistic way, and it's patriarchal, and it's entitled, and it's manipulative, and it's like trying to drive a car without any gas.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine. She's a newer witch, you know, just kind of dipping her toe. We became like fast friends. And I remember once, I think she was just going through a rut. I mean, this was before 2020. And she asked me, she was like, you know, when's the last time you did a spell or that you did magic? And I was just like, I told her, I'm like, that's not my life anymore. Like, my life isn't spell work. I'm doing something else. Like, my whole life, the way I talk to people, the way I live, that's magic.
Yeah, you know? Your life is magic. Your life is your magic. Yeah. Spells are a way of focusing intent and willpower and energy. And, you know, but your life is your magic. Yeah. There's artistry, I think, in spellcraft and potions and all, and ritual and, you know, the making.
It's the craft. It's the craft part of witchcraft. Yeah.
But if it's devoid of the energy that makes magic work, which is our connection to the divine, then it is, and it's mechanical, and it's missing the point. It's missing the point. When you asked a question about the difference between what it was like in my original coven and my shamanic approach, and that's a big subject, but it was much more sort of ceremonial, although it was very feminist, and it's not the posture that I work from, because the shamanic frame is much more humble. You know, you see yourself not as the master of the universe, but as a strand, you know, in a web of life, and it's a posture of gratitude and humility. Much more than commanding and controlling, which is the ceremonial magic position. I look back and I think in a certain sense it was good to have that more ceremonial, chest out, commanding, because we were young women who were still quite powerless in a really sexist world. The late 70s, early 80s, still right into the 90s. Today, you know, when I started practicing as a lawyer, this 1979, when all of this, my journey into witchcraft also began, God, a million years ago, we were making 76 cents on the dollar. What are women making today? 79?
Still, yeah, still in the 70s.
Ha! So really, it's so much better, right? All right. Anyway, so in a way, that posture was good. You know, that kind of I'm in control. I have this power. I can manifest things. I can work with the forces of creation, with air and fire and water and earth. And I can make things happen in my life. And when they do, when you make magic, and you make magic with, you know, intent, visualization, and willpower, and the rate and strong emotion and the raising of energy, and however you make your magic, and things happen, it's very empowering. That was one of the questions you asked. It's very empowering. So it serves a role, it has a place, but it's essentially very patriarchal, that you're using the air and you're using the fire and your energy and you're using water, you're using the earth. And we're not supposed to be using, we're supposed to be working with. Right? To manipulate is patriarchal. I am entitled to do what I want with you. Right? Yeah. So it's lacking in humility. It's lacking in gratitude. It's lacking in understanding of our purpose and our place here, which is the consequence of 5,000 years of patriarchy and transcendent religions. The deck was my chance to address a lot of that, because it's so unconscious.
Yeah, we've been going through it I don't even remember when I got it, but since I got it, we've been pulling. So the podcast airs 4 days a week. Wednesdays are interview days or weird days. So we've been pulling a card every day. And and so we've been going through it. Oh, I should wait.
How have you? We're going to have another conversation, because we've been talking about politics and we've been talking about.
Oh, but no, it's so great. It's so great. Right, it's so great. Because, even, you know, just like with what you were just saying, like, because I was witchy in my child years, I took a little break. And then in my 20s, I became re-witchy. Literally, the biggest changes in my life, all for the positive, have always been, you know, like you were saying, I would get signs from the universe. I would do the signs, and I'll never forget one of my lowest points. Like, I literally, this was pure faith.
pure faith was I followed the signs. I quit my job. I moved. I was following the signals and signs I was getting. And I'll never forget, there was a day I was sitting in a parking lot and I was at my lowest. Like, I was following the signs, and it was like 2 days of it would either all fall apart or it would all come together. And I remember I was like, I kind of like looked to the sky and I was like, I did everything. I heard you. I listened. I executed. I did what you wanted. I did everything you wanted me to do, but now I need you to do your part and help me. And the next day, everything came together. I got the job. I got the apartment. And then this, and then I started everything, and it changed my life. So I agree completely. The biggest changes in my life, and for the positive, I don't even recognize who I was before all of this. The biggest changes in my life was when I was listening and working with, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
but
well.
Yeah, sorry. Back to your deck. That just reminded me. Sorry.
No, I mean, yeah, look, we're free women. We can whatever we want. And we will definitely talk. I'm dying to hear about what you did. But that's what I call ground magic. It's that you pay attention, you follow the guidance. And that's one reason, yeah, it does connect to the tarot deck, because that's the whole thing. I love divination. I think divination is one of the most profound spiritual, it's practical, but it's one of the most spiritual practices that we have, that you follow the signs and you remain open, but you're allowed to have will, and you're allowed to be a little Italian, you know, and shake your finger at the universe. I should do a little more of that. Like, I've done my job. Now you have to do your part, you know, and you're allowed, we're allowed to have a little, you know, we have will for a reason, but it does change you when you open yourself and you pay attention. To me, that's what I think it was in witchcrafting. I talked that a witch is somebody who's paying attention. That's what distinguishes us. The blindfold's off. We see and we listen, we hear. And that's why divination is so important, is that it's a way of having that conversation. It's like a prayer that's answered. It's a conversation. It's a dialogue. You can ask and you're going to get an answer. You may not understand the answer because the problems always arise in our interpretation, but you get an answer. And my experience has been that the answer that you get is coming from a source that is genuinely compassionate and cares about you, has that wide view. We have this view, but you're getting an answer from a spherical divinity that sees the past and sees the future, sees within, you know, understands the context and provides guidance that's always in, it's always in your best interest. You may not, it depends on the values of the deck. Rachel Pollack, the wise Rachel Pollack, I'm quoting her, you know, that any, all decks, you know, have value. They have something to offer. They're a way for the divine to speak with us, right? It's like this, it's like Skype for the divine, for us and the divine, whatever it is, whether it's runes or the I Ching or your tarot deck. But she wisely noted that the values in the deck, because all decks have a value system, we tend to be oblivious to it, like fish swimming in water. We don't know that we're swimming in water, right? There's a value system in tarot decks that will have a direct impact on the advice that you're given and your ability to see the advice and take the advice.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. We've all done that thing where we've like, no, it's a bad shuffle. You know, like, no, I don't like that card.
Goodbye.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Well, and this is more than that. So this is like that, but more. So for a great example is the Crowley deck. A lot of people say, oh, it's so dark. Oh, it's so dark. It's not that it's dark. It's a system that's set up that it picks up your neurosis.
I'm grabbing your deck.
Ah, and I get to see your apartment.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
So one of the things that always bugged me You start with your great questions that you sent me. Like, what was my intent? My intention. Where did this come from? I've been wanting to do a deck for a really long time because I have never been completely happy with any of the decks that I have. Robin me for a long time. Ended up, I didn't like it at first, but it ended up being my favorite deck to for others. But I was not satisfied. She redid the devil card in a way that I thought was brilliant. But it was still the Rider-Waite deck. It's still the Rider-Waite-Smith deck from the turn of the last century is the most popular deck in the world. And with good reason, especially with Smith's contribution to the Minor Arcana. It's terrific for understanding the daily problems of life and getting insights. You know, if you ask a question like, should I move or should I get married or should I go back to school? It's very pragmatic in that sense because she was the first one. She took the Minor Arcana and told them instead of symbols, she had human scenes, right? So you have these vignettes of what human life is composed. So they're great. They're really useful. But they always bugged me. The Hierophant, the Pope, the Devil, even the Temperance card, you know, the Angel of Temperance, the Judgment card made me crazy. The graves opening and people, you know, coming out of the graves and the angel calling, Gabriel calling them to heaven. And the card that drove me the nuttiest was the World card. What? Where is the world? Find me the world in the World card. It's not there. It's this person floating in space with the symbols of the archangels in each of the four corners. It's like, that's not the world. That's the not world, right? That's it. And in fact, it's the card of ultimate transcendence, of transcending the world. And when you do a little reading and start to look at the history of the Tarot, you find the Rider-Waite deck that everybody, you know, thinks is, oh, this is the Tarot. It's not. It's what they created out of the Tarot that existed from the late 1400s when it first appeared. And it's their interpretation, reinterpretation of that deck. Waite put the major arcana in order. Waite gave them their names. And what people don't know, some people know that they were part of the Golden Dawn. What they don't know is that, in fact, both Waite and Smith left the Golden Dawn and created their own esoteric order, which was a Christian esoteric order. And if you look, all these marvelous interpretations, all the scholarship and all this esoteric thinking, and it's great, and it's terrific. And, you know, there is an aspect of the spiritual journey that is leading to the transcendent, to infinite spirit that never changes, that exists beyond creation, right? Okay. Maybe I would call it, for us, realms of spirit. And the journey that you see, if which we don't have time to talk about, but if you look at the Rider-Waite deck and you really start to analyze it, the Magician is in control of the four elements. It's the idea that he is, you know, that he controls air and fire, right? And he can make magic through his control, which is what a lot of young witches think of when they come to magic, and what a lot of people who practice magic without the spiritual component think of magic, the control, you know, of the energy forms in order to manifest. Okay, control of nature, control over nature to affect what one wills, what one wishes and desires. Then you have the High Priestess, and she's quite mysterious and interesting. But as you move through the Major Arcana, you are moving away from the world. The spiritual journey is taking you away from control of the world to transcendence. The World card, where the figure has transcended in all of the limitations of life and of the material planes, the material world, and has achieved communion with spirit by transcending the world. Drove me nuts. So Kay has asked me if I was interested in doing a tarot deck. I practically leaped across the Atlantic Ocean in my enthusiasm. And I was like, I'm so there. I want to create, because they said, we want a witch's tarot. I said, I'm there. Because a witch's tarot is not about transcending or controlling or manipulating the realm of creation. It's about experiencing and participating in the magic of the natural world of creation. It's a journey in and through. And we enter realms of spirit, but the gift that you get there is always tied to the world in which we live, for the time that we live, right? So you come back, and if you've done your work properly, you come back with healing, and you come back with wisdom, and you come back with guidance, you come back with the experience of communion, but most of all, you come back with the ability to see the sacred embodied by the natural world, by creation, and you begin to see how one lives in right relationship, as the Buddhists Native American. And so our deck and our major arcana is not about, our major arcana is not about transcending and leaving the world, but of going in and through it and discovering that all of creation loves us and nurtures us and sustains us as Mother Earth does, and that we have a role to play in its beauty and its wonder and in the magic of creation. And the minor arcana aren't about symbols. They're not about using the moments to see ourselves so much as enabling us to see the natural so that we can rediscover the missing parts of ourselves. And it's I wrote it in a way that no deck has ever been written. I wanted it to be profoundly magical. So the first portion is a wisdom section, which is intended to create a slightly altered state as you read it. It's a guided visualization. It's an invocation. It's a magic that alters consciousness. Step one of making magic, that you change consciousness. It has the essence, which is what you find in most tarot cards, which is just a string of words. It has counsel, which is very spiritual, but very practical, because our lives are our magic, as you so wisely said. Our lives are our magic. And then it has magic, which I didn't intend to do, but it was like, nope, you got to include a magic. And so there are all these magics that range from Devonshire spells to call pixies to very Zen, I can't tell you, you have to discover that for yourself, because that's how we get courage, you know, to go stand in the rain, to, this is how to cast a circle. It's a witch's tarot. It's quite different. There are similarities in the sense of the miners dealing directly with the elements, but the major arcana is unique. I think it's the first time that it's ever reversed itself. So
yeah.
And goes to the magician, except that it's not the magician now, it's the council of all beings. We journeyed for every card. It was really remarkable. It was quite a magical thing by which we found the artist, Danielle Barlow. And I journeyed and asked, what do I need to know? Journeying is an ancient cross-cultural shamanic technique where you use steady percussive rhythm, and it alters your consciousness. It creates a trance of basically a theta wave state of consciousness, and it's a visionary state. And it's what shamans have used, and it's what witches used. And the church burned all the drums when the witch persecutions were taking place. And I asked, what do I need to know to create a witch's tarot? And I was greeted by my guides, my power animals, and they took me on this journey. And I was told immediately, unhesitatingly, do not work with the symbols. Work directly with the elements. Work with the elements themselves. Begin there. Begin with those. And a couple of weeks later, I had a conversation with Danielle Barlow, my first conversation with her. And it turned out that she had journeyed, because you know, here she is 40 years later in England doing shamanic journeying, because now it's spread all over the world, just like witchcraft is spreading all over the world. She's a hedge witch, and she journeyed, and she was told, she asked, what do I need to know? What, you know, what do we need to know to create this tarot deck? And she was told, don't work with the symbols, work directly with the elements, you know, and you'll take it from there. So when we had this conversation, I was like, yeah, that's the artist, you know, and that's our method. That's what we'll do. And I was very lucky because the responsibility was primarily on me. And usually what happens is that the creator of the deck instructs the artist, draw this, do that, this is what I want you to do. And instead I had a partner who was journeying with me, and who was getting her own visions. And often they were the same, or they overlapped, or it wasn't until because we would write them down, share them, and then discuss them. It wasn't until we put them together that the meaning was clear. Sometimes the images are of my journey. Sometimes they're of hers. Her journeys tended to be a little more starting at point A, ending at point Z. And mine tended to be starting at Y and ending up at Z. Mm-hmm. And they were flooded with words, which is very unusual for me. But of course, it made sense because I'm the writer. And the process of writing was deeply important to me. I wanted to use the genre so that you must have, I think, the text. You can work as you can with any tarot deck without the text and bring your own experiences and interpretation. But to fully understand them and to fully enter the card and understand the symbolism and what's happening and what it means, you need the text. And I really wanted to write text that was magical, that would be an evocation and an invocation of magic for the people working with it, you know, that were working with it. It was wonderful. It was a challenge because I had to wait until most of the artwork was done to begin writing properly, but I'm happy with it, and I'm getting a lot of great feedback. So that's my part of it. I'm going to have to get off the phone in a few minutes. I hate.
Oh,
we're going to have to do this again.
No, we'll have to do it again because we have. Yeah.
I'm after 11. I want to hear what you've been doing with it. I'm talking, but I'm dying to hear what you discovered, what it's felt like, the magic that it has. It unlocked magic for you? Have you been reading just for yourself? Have you done? I mean, I want to hear what your experience was like, because it's a very different deck.
It's really cool. So I don't read tarot. I read a different system. So I've always been a little hesitant of like tarot based decks. But one thing I really love about this, and this is how we use it on the podcast, is we pull, and for those listening, like you said, each card has four sections: wisdom, essence, counsel, and magic. We read the counsel section when we pull the card, because, you know, we are doing, it is a daily podcast. Everyone's going through things. There's events happening in the world. And it feels like the council is what's going to be most useful for everybody. But of course, and then if someone, you know, buys the deck, they can dive into the spell work and the wisdom and the essence and all that. But what I really like about it is it's very, I don't know if comforting's the right word, but you definitely feel like you are being backed up by a team when you read, when you work with this. You don't feel like you're alone reading the cards, but you feel like there's truly guidance with it, which is really cool and not something I think I've particularly have experienced with other tarot decks.
That makes me very happy to hear, because there was a guiding presence for us. There are tutelary spirits in the deck. The fox appeared first, and Grandmother Toad, the mycelium, the mushrooms, the briar rose, which is one of the tough teachers. And there was a voice always present, especially for me, in all of the journeys. And then in the writing, there was a sense of presence. Mm-hmm. And that in part it comes from years of doing divination and as a spiritual practice, that I know that when I am, whatever method of divination I'm using, whatever tool I'm using, I'm speaking to the sacred, and it's the sacred that's speaking to me. And I know that it loves me, and I know that it cares about me, and I know that its perspective is deeply compassionate, that it has my best interests. And that voice was with me as I was writing. So it's my voice, but it's the voice of the sacred that I was hearing and sharing. And I'm really happy that you experienced that, because it is a presence of tremendous love.
Yes, it is. And that's what I really like about it. A lot of decks don't have those feelings. They can be very harsh, especially with our listeners, like I have the privilege of being able to talk to them every day. And I want to, and that's why I love the council section, is I want to give you the insight or the tools to just to get through your day, because it's hard right now, you know? But that is exactly what it is. It feels like love.
Yeah. Oh, that makes me so happy. And of course, my favorite card, one of them, there are a lot of them. I have a lot of cards. And one of them is right behind me. You can see on the wall behind me is the pilgrim, the big poster I have made. Yeah. But one of my favorite cards is love, which is no longer a heteronormative couple, which is perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with being a heteronormative couple, but love is much greater than that. It's love. And so it's that young girl with the fox, who's one of the guides, and who is the familiar of the pilgrim who makes the journey through which is all of us, through the major arcane, with the fox, just the fox's nose to her face. And it's that love is the energy, love is the magic that out of which creation comes into being. So I'm very happy that you feel that, because I felt it and I was trying to share it. So that makes me very happy. Thank you.
It's been really great. I think we're still pulling, and like we're going to be pulling into March with it. Okay. So
did you have when you ask, what do you ask? Just what do people need to know today?
Oh yeah. It's just, you know, a card pull for everybody, for, you know, for the listeners kind of. And then what's wild is, I don't organize. So we have different topics that we talk about in the podcast. We have like headlines and like question of the day and like all these things. But it's randomly selected. Like I don't really put the episode together in themes. It all randomly comes together and the card is randomly chosen, of course. So there's nothing that feels more kismet than when everything aligns. Like, you know, we had one episode where the question of the day was about planets. And then the headline was planetary. And then like we pulled, I think it was the moon card. And it's like, okay, so we're getting a greater message here that we need to think a little cosmically. So when that happens, it feels really, really cool, you know?
I just love it. I love it. Yeah. Do you have a favorite card?
No, not yet, because we're still going through them. I'm not much of a favorite chooser when it comes to decks, you know.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm really thrilled. I love that you're working with it every day. I just absolutely love it. And I'm really picking one card a day, of course, is a great way for people to learn a deck, right? Mm-hmm. Classic method. If you want to learn a deck, pick a card. But the deck really works well as an oracle. And so that picking one card is just a really great way to have a conversation and to get to know the energy of the deck. I have not been able to do the traditional Celtic cross spread with the deck. It seems somewhat resistant to that, but it works really great with, I've seen, there have been a lot of reviews of the deck on YouTube now. And it's been really interesting to watch a number of these very skilled readers lay out the cards in a way that, you know, in their way of laying out cards, and to see how it works for them. And it seems to work really well. And we were given I was given the Compass Rose as a way of working with it that is really effective. So you're laying out a card in the East for the mind, and you know, card for the mind, a card for the emotions, for energy, for the emotions, for activities and work and, you know, manifesting, things of that sort. And then to transform it, and you can work with it as a spell for transformation and change, which is really potent. And even just laying them out, like a couple of cards for the past, a couple of cards for the present, a couple of cards for the future, it's very eloquent. The reason that I have to go at 11:30 is because I have a consult and a reading, and I've loved working with it with people. We did it and we weren't sure. Like, we built the car, but when we get in it and turn on the engine, will it drive?
It's a whole different beast. Yeah.
It works, right? And it's like, okay, you can drive it to the marketplace and it'll give you a really practical answer. And then you can drive it to the sacred grove, you know, and it'll tell you like how to go into an ecstatic state and commune with the goddess and then come back home. So maybe stop off and buy a pair of shoes. It's working. I'm so thrilled. And it's full of magic. Like you said, every card has magic, but it's also full of the work that I'm trying to do now, that I am doing now, and that is the subject of the next book. And it's scattered throughout the deck. So you'll find it's in the Guardian, it's in the Great Mother, it's in Balance card, this new sensibility and understanding of the magic of Mother Earth, that there is a way to live that is full of magic, that the world we live in is sacred, that there is that the natural state is one of abundance and support and nurturance and care and well-being and health and balance, that there'll always be enough for everyone as long as we give back in kind. We didn't intend, I should say, because one of the questions that you had asked when you sent, and it, you know, if you want to have a conversation where I talk less and you ask questions.
Well, we're ready for the next time. We're ready for the next time, cool. For sure.
Okay, we got all this, right? And you can actually ask me questions that I'll answer in a coherent manner. But one of the things you asked was, what was the, did we have an intention? And the intention was to be open to the wisdom of spirit, to express the values and to be open, not to say we intend to change this deck. We didn't. I said, and Danielle, I think as well, we intend to create a deck that is a witch's wisdom tarot. And we used an ancient shamanic witches, a wise ones, a shaman's technique to seek that wisdom, to enter realms of spirit, to be shown that was the question. What does the world need to know? Her job was to show it. We would determine what the image should be based on the journey. And then she would draw it and send it to me, and I would make suggestions or not. And then she would paint it. And my portion was, what does the world need to know? So what do we have to show? What do we need to know? And then I would write what needed to be known, what was shared with us, and the insight that I derived from what was shared. But we didn't set out intending to reverse the major arcana. First journey, I was in the world and it was on fire. And there was this young woman with a pack on her back and a hat pulled down, and she was striding away from this metropolis that was in flames into the natural world, which you couldn't quite see, but you knew that's where she was headed. And then the next card was, she was, you know, pack off, she's kneeling, drinking, washing her face, and there were all these little animals making mischief around her. There's a badger carrying off her boot, and there are foxes tearing at her pack, and a crow's pulling her hat off. And I realized it's not judgment. It's not transcending and leaving the world. It's initiation. It's descending into the world. into ourselves, into the heart of our humanity, and to our connection in this place that we're blessed to live in. And I realized, and then came the sun. And instead of it being this young little boy who's, you know, all, you know, conquest, and it was a young, somewhat androgynous, young black man, more of a boy, you know, right on the cusp of manhood. And he's wounded. He's holding his heart in his hand, and there are scars on his chest. And it's a very different idea of the sun, you know, not as this kind of cosmic illumination and conquest, but rather of healing, of the light that comes through sharing our vulnerability and healing our wounds, of finding the gold in the darkness of life. And then came the moon. And there are similarities. You'll see, you'll recognize the image of the moon with the two wolves and the one wolf and the dog. The journey had reversed itself. It wasn't our intention. It was the experience. It was the journey that we went on. And so the deck takes the readers on that journey. And it is the journey, I think. It is the spiritual journey of our time, that we learn to take off our blindfolds and see that we're living in a world that's full of magic, but that magic is embodied, and we are meant to participate in it, not through controlling and manipulating, but through communion and gratitude. The Hangman is gone. It's a very esoteric card, but it's gone because we were shown it's not about sacrifice. Yes, life always involves sacrifice. But what's important for you to learn is not about sacrifice, but about offerings. It's a different energy. Mm-hmm. That energy you were talking about of love that we offer out of our love and our gratitude, rather than out of, you know, that we have to pull an eye out or bleed or do the sun dance. You know, that warrior stance of sacrifice is necessary. There are times that you know, that we have to transcend. There are times that we need to make sacrifice. But what's been missing is the mother's wisdom, is witch's wisdom, you know, is women's wisdom. And to have balance and to have a healthy whole, we need the wisdom that's been missing. And that's why, you know, that's why the world needs our witches. And hopefully the deck will help, will help witches find their wisdom and their magic. And in turn, then will help us, help the world find its wisdom and its magic. We have a lot of work to do, but you know, it's always worst, right? It's always darkest before the dawn, and the dawn is upon us, and we're the agents of it. And you are. I'm really honored. I really am. That you've been doing this with the deck. And I'm dying to talk to you more about your experiences, to answer the questions that you sent me and that some of your readers sent in. They were such great questions.
They were really excited. They were pumped.
Witches, we hope that you have an amazing day filled with magic and inspiration. If you'd like to support the podcast, head on over to our Patreon. Need a support system? Find the Witch Daily Show on Facebook and our website, witchdailyshow.com.